trumpets. Chapter 8. We're going to include trumpet 1 because we're going to go from trumpet 1 through trumpet 4. I put them together because they all have to do with the thirds. So I noticed that everything that was happening with the thirds. So I think that they're happening in the same maybe time period. They're all maybe a result of the same type of thing that's going on. So at least I know there is something different in these first four. Because at the end of them it says the whoa, 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 you know, the last trumpets, the last three that are coming. So I want to put the first four together. And we're looking at what third of the world is being affected with these first trumpets. So these are some possibilities. Number one, maybe the enemies of Israel. It could be the Muslims. I did some study into that and looking at what percentage of the world is Muslim. And in 2015, that number was 24% of the world population. So by now, 2017, or at least in the near future, it could be that there could be one third of the world could be Muslims. So everybody has war against terrorists and Islam. And we don't want to stereotype because we know that every Muslim is not violent, is not, you know, warring against Israel. But you know, I looked at the map. I'm going to go ahead and do that because we're going to look at that a couple of times. On the very last page today, there's a map. And you'll see Israel to the left, the word Israel, and it points in the map to show you where Israel is. And if you look around Israel, Egypt, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Turkey, when you look at all these countries, they're surrounded by Arabic nations, which are mostly Muslims. Isn't that amazing? And look how tiny Israel is. And already this war is raging between the Arabs and Israel, in between Palestinians wanting a piece of that holy land. Look how tiny Israel is. Why is there such a battle over that one little piece of land? Because it is the holy land. Because it is where the temple of God stands. Because it is one day, a place where Israel is going to lose that war. And the enemy is going to come in and set up the abomination of desolation in the temple of God. So we know there is a war where Israel is going to lose because that abomination is going to be brought into the temple. So that's something that came to my mind. And I'm not saying everybody in that, every Muslim is going to die. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's a prominent number of Arabic nations that would love to come against Israel. And now even the United Nations, a lot of them are joining in with Palestine saying that Israel should give up that land. And they're not going to. So it's even possible some of the rest of the nations would be included in coming to war against Israel right at the time that abomination is going to be brought in as a result of that war. So if we look at that, and be careful not to stereotype, but it's easy to see that already 1.8 billion people are in the religion of Islam. They're Muslims. And it's the fastest growing religion in the world right now. That's amazing. But as equal as they are, but you know, they all don't think that way. They don't all think like ISIS. Jackson and I were going over some current events. Three major terrorist groups, including Al-Qaeda, rejected ISIS. ISIS tried to merge with other groups. They came out of Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda rejected them. Two other terrorist groups they tried to merge with wouldn't have anything to do with them. Even the leader, Baghdadi, a rare name, is, they think they might have killed him last week. Even he was rejected. Bin Laden. Osama bin Laden, he was rejected by his own family, you know, when he became a terrorist. And his family was Muslim. So I'm not saying every Muslim is bad. I'm not saying every Muslim is going to die. But I am saying there's a lot of Arabic nations against Israel. And now many other nations are joining in. And there could be this major war. And that could be in that area where these thirds are happening. It may not may not be a third in every part of the world, but it might be one concentrated area that's at war, where these weapons may be reduced. Number two, that went to number two. And number three, next page. How hard is it? Number two. Number four, Rock River.
You said exactly wrong. I was thinking that in my mind. Sorry.
So number four, I could be wrong. It may be not Israel. But a lot of other scriptures do confirm that in the last days there are going to be wars, and this abomination is going to be brought into Israel. And then he tells the people there flee to the mountains. That would indicate they're losing that war and having to flee out of the city. So in conclusion of that, I think that maybe these four trumpets, the first four trumpets, are connected to that time of war. Now that time of war could take a long period of time. In fact, it could take 3.5 years. Because when the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple, we are at the 3.5 year mark in tribulation. So perhaps that whole war could take 3.5 years. And as we go through the trumpets, remember in the seals, that we saw these elements of hail with mingled with the fire and blood, with the famine, with the one coming to conquer, and then with the fire's force that brought war, could represent some of the more modern weapons, and death and hell followed. And these things were all explained in the first five or six seals. So we could be looking at that up until the 3.5 year mark. I mean, these are just possibilities, ways to consider it. So trumpet one we looked at last week, but we're just going to include it, goes very quickly. So the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire, mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Again, if it is in the area of Israel, or somewhere near there, that could explain a third of the earth that's affected by some kind of nuclear weapons, you know, that are in that area, and they don't hit the other parts of the world yet, but maybe just that general area. So, we don't know, is it the entire earth, or is it one particular area completely wiped out? And of course, if all the grain is burned up, that goes to food, so that would bring the famine. We do want to go to Ezekiel. Look at some of the highlights from Ezekiel 38 before we go to the other trumpets. So we can get over there. Okay, Ezekiel 38. Starting in verse 15. Thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee. Oh God, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by the servants of the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days, many years, that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass in the same time when God shall come up against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there should be a great shaking in the land of Israel. So the fish of the sea, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon with them, in overflowing rain and great hailstones, in fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Lord. I like some of the highlights here, but one thing we want to keep in mind in the latter days when this war happens is the enemy comes from the north. God says the heathen are going to know the reality of him when he has sanctified his people. Sanctified means set apart, but it also means made holy. When God is seen as holy, when we have been set apart for God to live through us, and they see God through us, then they're going to know that God is real. There'll be this great shaking. Maybe during the shaking is where we see some of these thirds coming and shakes that land. Because the fish of the sea, the fowls, the beasts, all creeping things, you know, God is saying that they're going to be shaken. And these things have not ever happened before. He has to be talking about end times. Right. Mountains are thrown down. Every wall falls to the ground. You know, there's so much talk about the hailstones, the fire, the great mountain fire falling in the sea, things we're about to read. There's so much of this burning and fire, and it reminds me of that dream when I saw this kind of a fire that just swept through the city and it took down giant buildings. Just, they were gone. Just gone. I mean, it was fire like we've never seen. And I think of the nuclear explosions. Do you know that every nation that has nuclear weapons are testing them all the time? I mean, just in the last 15 years, there's been about 52 nuclear tests on American soil. Some of them that they're doing are three times bigger than the bomb that hit Hiroshima in World War II.
Really?
Yes. Wow. They're enormous. It's stupidity. They're dropping them in the ocean floor. They're exploding them out, you know, in country areas. But then the fallout is making people in nearby towns get cancer. I mean, it's not bad enough the enemy could hit us. We're setting off our own hands ourselves, testing them. Worse bombs than we used in World War II. That's insanity for us even to mess with stuff like that. But again, if you want to go to your second to last page, we'll go to these things different times. You can look at this nuclear bomb at the top. In a few minutes, we're going to read about as a mountain on fire being cast in the sea. As a mountain. Does not that nuclear bomb look like a giant mountain on fire?
Wow.
And then they talk about stars. What he saw was a star falling from heaven. Well, look at this nuclear weapon that is being shot from outer space to the earth to test it. It looks like a falling star. And shooting at Earth, I mean, let's just shoot on our Earth and see what we can do. Stupidity. But when they shoot them from outer space, you're affecting more now than even Earth. Now you're affecting stars. You're affecting outer space as well as Earth. Could be the result of some of this causing the sun and moon to turn back and not show up in third again. And then last of all, an asteroid would also look like a great ball of fire hitting the Earth. So these are some ways that could explain things we're about to read. But I like also when the guy talks about war, and he says he's fleeing people to pestilence, the wormwood. The wormwood is a type of poison. It's like hemlock, it's poison. The waters become literally poison. That could be a chemical up there. Something that poisons the waters. Guys, I plead through that. We're not at a judgment point right here. We're at a pleading point. We're at a place where God is saying, surely this will make you turn to me. All these things. And he said, I will magnify myself. He said, I will make myself so big, you have to see me. Wow. Nobody can hide from the fact that I'm here. I'm going to make myself so obvious to see. And I will sanctify myself and declare my holiness. You know, we've been talking. Some people sometimes talk about not wanting to offend anyone. We're going to win everybody to the wall. And, you know, we're not out to be judgmental, critical, harsh, go around being, you know, going to hell, and I'm going to punish you. We're not doing that. But we also can't not tell people to repent. God's going to make his holiness known. And his holiness is not being lived on this world right now and in this country. And there's so much immorality and sin. We are supposed to declare the truth. All through Jeremiah, God is grieved that the prophets are saying, peace, peace. God's fine with us. He's a loving God. We have no problem. It's all peace. And he said, you're lying. You're like biting on people with your teeth of lies. And you're making them come to war against me because they're not repenting. I am a holy God. People need to repent. They need to come out of sin. You can't just tell them it's okay. You can't just not declare the holiness of God. We can't not present the gospel of Christ. We are supposed to rescue people. And God says, I'm going to declare my holiness. I'm going to be known in the eyes of many nations. They're going to know that I am the Lord. He's going to make himself known. And it's just unreal that even while they're hiding, they're knowing it's God. They're hiding from God. And yet they won't repent. That is just grievous. Now that's trumpet one, kind of an overview. So let's look at trumpet two on page 4, verse 8 and 9. Anybody want to say anything about that part? We're going to talk about some of those details as we go through other trumpets, but we have a question or comment on that first one. Well, so we kind of did that last week.
When I saw the picture of that, where of the asteroids,
yeah.
You know, I mentioned a TV show. There's a TV show now that there's this big asteroid coming through.
Yeah.
And it just seems like, you know, so what that tells me are people have been reading the Word.
Yeah.
Or how they come up with these things.
Scientists, in studying the outer space
mm-hmm.
and the movement of planets and stars and asteroids, are saying that one is very close to striking the Earth. So that some of that's coming from science.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it kind of lines up with what we're reading.
How big are asteroids?
They're all sizes.
And was it one they're talking about right there?
I'm not sure.
Size.
Once about a TV show that's been out called Salvation.
Yeah.
And this middle one right here is what they're seeing.
Really?
On that show. Yeah. It's just a preview, but it's that middle one that they're seeing.
Yeah. Well, there's been asteroids that hit here in different places.
Right.
Sizes, but yeah, I think this one that God's talking about might be a little bigger. When he says, something, a fire, as a mountain, that's pretty big. On page 4, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 of Revelation chapter 8. And the seven angels sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. So, the question, was it a real mountain? It probably was not, or it would have said a mountain. It said as a mountain. Basically, as big as a mountain, or so much looking like a mountain on fire. So, it could be an explosion, it could be a nuclear bomb. You know, it could be something like that. Which sea are we talking about? You know, it said a sea, it did not say an ocean. But it was written in ancient days, and they did used to call oceans seas also. You know, so here we went from that to the seven seas, knowing I was born in seven seas. But it could be an ocean or it could be a sea. But if you go back to your map on the last page, I meant to put the black sage right above Turkey, I missed that one. But if you look, I didn't write much with an arrow to mark it out. Because sometimes people like me with bad eyes couldn't be always one word, so I just kind of make them pop. But if you see again where Israel is, and that the enemy that's going to attack is coming from the north. So if we are looking at that wartime, then probably we're talking about Black Sea or Mediterranean. Now even if it were the Black Sea in order to get closer to Israel, they'd still have to go across the Mediterranean. My guess would be we might be talking the Mediterranean Sea because it's right above Israel. there are other cities I pointed them out, but they're further across land. And to come from the north, and perhaps we're talking about warships. Israel may have ships out on the sea, and the enemy may have ships coming toward Israel on that sea. And we could be talking about explosive bombs, torpedoes, or, but it's a mountain. And I think as a mountain burning does not mean it exploded under the water. I think it was already on fire when it hit the water. So I'm not sure, but if it is a weapon, it would make sense. Something exploded right there, it was cast into that sea, it landed in that sea, and it wiped out a third of the fish and the animals, it wiped out a third of whatever boats were on that sea. And I'm thinking if they were at war, it would make sense they were warships firing these things at each other. Or maybe, let's just say Israel wasn't out there, but they detected these ships are coming. Maybe they hit them with a nuclear weapon. We don't know who's firing all the weapons at who. War's going on. Israel has their share. I mean, all these nations have these weapons. And actually, if these nations came against Israel, there would probably be some nations on Israel's side. They could be firing nuclear weapons too. So there could be all kinds of, could be a very nuclear war going on here. And all kinds of weapons have been fired. But this particular one lands in this sea, I think, the Mediterranean. It seems to make sense.
The point is that an angel sounded at God's bidding.
Exactly.
It's almost like God said, now's the time. Released it.
God in Ezekiel, God said, I will bring the angel against my people.
Right.
Now that doesn't seem to make sense, but it is how God agrees with his people. And it is how he agrees with the enemy. He went after Egypt right before all his people. In the book of Jeremiah, that poor prophet, he went and told the leaders to repent, and they didn't. And he told them, you're not right with God. And he said, yes, we are. We didn't do anything wrong. And all the prophets were saying, peace, peace, you're all fine. And God said to Jeremiah, because they do not repent, then I'm going to bring the king of Babylonia against them. He's going to conquer them, and they're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And I'm not going to change my mind about that. And I'm not going to rescue them until they do 70 years. I'm going to bring the king of Babylonia against them. And then after 70 years, I'm going to punish him for doing that to my people. But God actually brought them against the people. And it was to humble his people and to plead with them through their oppressions, their time of oppression. One time later on, because they never would believe Jeremiah, he prophesied and threw him in the dungeon, you know, we don't like what you're saying, we'd rather do the prophets that make us feel good. And they would just throw him in the dungeon. And then one of the kings later, because this took many years he prophesied, one of the later kings came and he said, bring that prophet up out of the dungeon. I want to know what the Lord has to say. And Jeremiah came up and he said, I don't want to tell you because you're just going to kill me or throw me in a dungeon. And he said, no, you just tell me secretly and we'll keep it between us. You know, and I won't kill you. And Jeremiah said, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. That's what's going to happen. But the Lord said to tell you, don't resist the enemy. Just let him overtake you. And he'll let you live. He'll even let my people live in houses, my gardens, you know, as long as they obey him as king. And that'll last 70 years, and then I'll release you and set you free. And the king said, now, bring back in prison. And when the king of Babylonia came to conquer the land, instead of submitting to him, this king ran from him and he was killed. Because he didn't believe the prophet. So, again, the point, God said, I will bring the enemy against my people because my people need to see that I'm God. They need to turn to me, and I'm pleading with them through pestilence. I'm pleading with people. I want the enemy to repent, I want my people to repent, and they don't even know Christ yet. And I want them to get saved before the end of the world, and I'm doing the extreme thing now. So if you look at your map again, if the enemy comes from the north, and if this is going to land in a sea, and the ships on the sea, a third of them that are destroyed, I'm just thinking that we're looking at war against Israel again. And this is probably the sea we're talking about. Now, if we were to look at, I can't give you exact numbers, but I can tell you there's 7.5 billion people in the world, meaning a third of that would be about 2.2 billion people that are going to die from that happens. 2.2 billion, if it happened today. And at the rate of growing, that probably larger number than that. That is a massive weapon. That is a massive destruction. I how many died in Hiroshima, isn't it? Do you know? Anybody know? I don't know that one. But if we are just testing weapons that are three times more powerful than that one, I can only imagine what's out there we don't even know about. And one of those weapons being released in this area, taking out 2.5 billion people. That's a huge number. It also makes sense when we move on later and we see that a fourth of the men on Earth died on the whole world. The next time it talks about the whole world, when a fourth of men died,
146,000.
Only 146,000 in Hiroshima. We're looking at 2.5 billion. That is a big order. Well, we're talking about that today, but the world is multiplying rapidly, so those numbers are going to be bigger at the time.
Yeah, but that's a billion.
Right.
For it to be what you said, so I'm just saying,
we're going to have 7 billion people reproducing. 1 more billion is not, you know? Right?
We have to not.
Anyway, it's a big number, whatever it is. Anyway, there's a lot of statistics we read about, but that's as far as I went with that, because it's still not absolutely sure. It's just making sense. So let's look at Trumpet 3 on page 4 and from Revelation 8, verse 10 and 11.
Okay. Before we go there, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you think it might not just be an explosion that kills everyone? It might actually be, since it's landing in an ocean, called a tsunami, come on, people.
That could be part of it, definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. Especially when you look at a lot of renewables being killed there, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it sand?
Did I say the renewables yet? No. We're only talking about creatures in the sea right now. But, again, yeah, all the green was on Trumpet 1. That was on the hail of fire and with blood is when all the green trees, well, the third part of trees in green was burned up. And again, I'm so thankful that we can think of things like whatever seed was underground can grow back up again. You know, that's awesome. And I like thirds. I like thirds because it means there's two thirds. It's still not destroyed. So we have a larger number. And when you think of the fallen angels, it was one third. You still have two thirds. Good angels. You still have a better number there. So again, if we're talking about one third of something at this point, and then whatever's left, we're talking about a fourth of it. You know, and then it's in the whole world. So things are different when it goes to the whole world than when we're in a particular region or area. So Trumpet 3, then the third angel sounded and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as that word lamp, which also means torch. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the deep. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood, and many men died of the waters because of the name of it. And he never said exactly how many men died. So, you know, we may not be looking at 2.5 billion people because we're talking waters and animals and ships. But when he talks to many, he says many. And I looked up this word wormwood, and it means poisonous and bitter. And it also, in the Old Testament, said wormwood, which is hemlock, which is also a poisonous plant. So this reminds me of chemical warfare. You know, they're poisoning the waters. But it's also, I mean, if we put it together and think of that, then shooting, things that they shoot can still be chemical warfare. it can be fired like a missile and come down like fire, like an asteroid, but containing chemicals that poison whatever it is. Like in the Vietnam War, they dropped bombs that contained Agent Orange, which was a poisonous gas. So we can see they can also reduce chemical warfare through these things that look like falling stars. And on the other hand, it might be a little star. Could be an asteroid, a meteor, could be anything. I mean, it's interesting though, they said the star had a name, and many times God refers to us as stars, really as the stars in heaven, and he refers to Satan and his angels still as stars. So it could be the spirit too. And again, what waters do they fall into? Yet they do have to do with the war, and these thirds that are happening, seems like we're talking about an area of the world that could be thirds. And it may not only be Israel. I mean, we've got a whole section of the world over there, and then third, some of the Arab nations are receiving these things too. Acts 6:12-13. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. Again, this could be because of the weaponry that's going on. Could be that God just did it as a sign that he is God. He can't do that. He can turn off our light. At the end of these trumpets, the angel flies through heaven, and he says, I heard the angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So we know these had a connection, they all had thirds. They seem to be connected to me, to the war. Because I know we go to this vision in heaven, when we move on from here, before we go to another trumpet, there's a break when we have visions in heaven and see other things. But it seems like these are connected, and it just all seems to be aiming at that section of the world, and maybe to this war. However, somebody can do research on how much of the world is covered by the Middle East or Asia, you know. But then you don't know exactly which of those nations would be involved in it. Would Africa be a part of it? No, who knows?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Trumpet three was the one. You said it's a lamp or a torch is a stick with fire on it. A missile is kind of like a giant stick with fire on it.
Yeah, that reminded me of the missile in the middle picture. In our pictures, that reminded me of the missile being shot in our space section of the missile attack. But the fact that it affects the waters could be 12 meters too. But these stars fall from heaven, so I think it's probably from outer space. Where Russia and the U.S. and different nations do have satellites and weapons in outer space. We have missiles in outer space, nuclear missiles, and we have anti-missiles out there that block and stop somebody else's missile from coming. So missiles and anti-missiles, and we got our anti-missiles on alert in case North Korea decides to try to fire one so that we can intercept it. It's supposed to detect, intercept, and turn it away. So, President Trump, says that he is definitely not going to let it slide, them torturing and kept torturing that young man that was just returned from North Korea, that there will be a reaction. I don't know what he means by that, but he keeps threatening North Korea, and they keep threatening us, and we're on the verge of war all the time with them. That was a sad story.
Oh, it was. Well, you can just see through the picture that he wasn't even with it, you know. Bouncing all around, you could just, show the pictures of it. I just know so crazy what he must have went through.
Right. Any questions, comments? Well, before they do trumpet sevens, there's a right note where they go into a vision of heaven, I think. So that's probably what we'll look at next time. This is kind of exciting to me because it made sense. Before I was thinking one third of it would be equally distributed throughout the whole world, one third of everything. And this made more sense, being a war zone, which would, you know, affect one third involved in the war. That made a whole lot more sense to me. Otherwise, we each have to look out of window and see if the spirit of our yard would be gone, which, you know, that doesn't make sense. Especially if you don't live near the sea.
Well, isn't there, that I think I know the answer, isn't there covenants, are the women solid worm?
It's a white ball worms.
Well, the reason that's, I think that's what it is, yeah. Because I remember doing a job, this is a while ago, but it had, it looked like wormholes.
Well, that's some soft paper to be full of wormholes.
Oh, really? But supposedly this was called worm.
But there is a plant.
That's right.
Grows somewhere in Asia, I think it's called wormwood, and called hemlock in the Gulf places. Very good at the taste. And they stink. I think they have a bad smell. I think I read that too. Maybe they have a good smell. I don't know. There's something about the fragrance why people use them. But you're not supposed to eat them. But we've already seen a lot of greenery burnt up. You now see the water poisoned. And that's what the people in a desperate situation. No food, no water.
Well, that's just what it takes. And he's still trying to be so merciful.
Just putting in, trying to find out, like, percentage of countries that are predominant Islamic.
Yeah.
So, out of 166 countries that are listed, 49 of them are 50% or more Islamic.
Wow.
Well, yes. A third would be 50, like 55 countries. So it's almost that.
It's almost a third of the countries.
There are, I mean, at least 50%.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
Some of the articles said that it's the faster growing religion in Christianity. It should overtake as the number one religion in the world. Which makes no sense. They're so wicked, so evil things they're doing. I mean, even if all Muslims aren't that, with what ISIS is doing, why are people drawn right now? Yeah. We've had so much going on with terrorists ever since 9/11. Why do people be drawn? You know?
It's just like after 9/11, why would they even want to vote Obama in deception?
He has a powerful spirit of deception on him. Very, very powerful spirit. Because you're right, after 9/11, how do you vote for someone with a
with even that name?
For a pastor? Well, I heard just the name?
Yeah.
I thought,
what?
After you saw him, we voted in Obama.
Yeah.
And Usama bin Laden was number 17 of 54 children that his dad fathered.
54?
So I don't think that boy had love and affection.
No. That isn't a purpose.
No.
Ah.
Of having children.
It's recruit.
Right.
That's why Romans are quick. They're not. It's not the first.
Research, did you see like where it says that the average Muslim woman, they said that has 2.9 children, and in Christianity, like the average Christian woman has 2.2 children, which is why the Islamic religion is growing faster because they have more children than they, you know, are
transformed.
The guy has multiple wives, and he grows a whole lot of children because of that.
Right.
And Bin Laden also had three wives. So they do that, and they birth a lot of kids that way. They birth more for a woman and have more women for men,
right? I know that they start training them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jackson's doing a
young
man. I shared a current thing. I shared a study There's pictures. I didn't give Jackson worse of them, but there's pictures of how they recruit. They recruit women, they recruit children. They had toddlers. They were like 3 years old holding big machetes, you know, and dressed in uniform and teaching them. And they had all kinds of children, young soldiers, and classrooms. And some of the pictures in their classroom are they're training them, they're all dressed in their black garb, and they have their victims on their knees in front of them. And they're just showing them how to chop heads up, illustrating the life of people, training them on how to kill.
A lot of people?
Yes. I know it seems horrifying. Because they don't have to be evil in their own mind to do it. They think that they're getting their vengeance. They think they're doing this for God because they are living separated and holy, and we're all sinful, infidels, so they're really the world of evil. And even in torture, they think they're doing you a favor. They torture you until you repent and accept Allah, so you go to heaven after they kill you. So yes, they're willing to die.
Absolutely. True.
Oh, yeah. And they're raised up on that from childhood.
They believe that if they die in that, that they will be rewarded greatly by
Allah
because of it. Yeah. It's a great honor to die that way.
It's just very scary because when we look at some of the scriptures that say about the enemy having no mercy at all, and it's just not as it's describing ISIS.
No mercy on who they're taking, no mercy on who they're teaching to. Like, exactly. There's no mercy before you with the trained children.
Right.
Like, that book was so appalling and unsuspecting, right. Unsuspected in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because that children and women would be the.
And they were children, they didn't know what to do. Because you see a child come in and you don't know. See that mom strapped to any mind, you want to kill a child, you know? You don't, and they blow the place up. So it's real hard. That's hard warfare. Real hard warfare.